Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Tangeline Bolton is a woman in a man's world. As composer in television and film in Hollywood, you know, they say the future is female. Well, today that future starts now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Spotlight On. I am your host, Tammy Govea, and today, beyond excited cannot describe how I feel about our guest. We have in studio today Tangeline Bolton. She is a co-composer for the Netflix show called Brainchild, which is produced by Pharrell Williams. She's recently had a concert at the Wiltern Theater here in Los Angeles, where she conducted a world premiere of her piece with the Hollywood Chamber Orchestra. She's currently providing additional composition music for the Nickelodeon animation show called Shimmer and Shine, and she also writes for advertising, most recently music on a national campaign for Nordstrom's. Everyone, let's please welcome Tangeline Bolton.
Thank you.
Yay!
Thank you so much for having me, Tammy.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. We were just talking earlier about how we met originally, and you know, it's just one of those scenarios where we literally had, what, 5 minutes or 7 minutes? It was a panel situation, first of all. So there was no one-on-one capacity to talk about anything in depth. And when I realized that you were a composer, I was like, because this is rare.
I know.
You're a woman. You're an Asian American woman in Hollywood as working as a composer.
Yes.
That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
That's phenomenal.
Thank you.
Let's start out. Well, actually, you know, I want to say that music that we opened up with, When I Realized.
Yes.
That was the name of your original composition, When I Realized.
Yes.
Loved it.
Oh, thank you so much.
It was fun choosing music because you have a ton of stuff to choose from. But I think, I don't know why I was drawn to
Whimsical.
That one. It was whimsical.
Whimsical.
Yeah.
Christmas is coming up.
Yes. Whimsy. We were talking about that too.
Right.
Okay, let's start with a little bit about your background. What's led you to that journey of writing music?
Right.
And why have you chosen to write music to express and have that be your voice?
Well, I've been playing music since I was really little. I come from a classical piano background. But I've been playing since I was, I don't know, about 3 or 4. My grandmother had been teaching me a bunch of little tunes here and there. My dad, he was a child of the 50s, so he was teaching me a lot of ragtime.
Nice.
And stuff like that. So I've always been really curious. I was a curious child, and I'd always just been playing around on the piano. And then I eventually took some lessons and got a bit serious. I started studying at the Westminster Conservatory of Music at a young age, probably about 14.
Now, where are you from originally?
I'm from Flemington, New Jersey.
Okay, so you're from Jersey.
Yes.
Okay, but you grew up here, like in Upland, California?
Actually, the opposite. I was born here.
Okay.
But I grew up in New Jersey.
Okay. Wow,
yes.
Now you're back.
And now
okay,
I'm back, full circle. So, yeah, so I'd been playing piano sort of my whole life. And then I just, in middle school, I got really, really into film. So I went to a really large public school. There was about 1,000 people in my graduating class.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so we had, we had a lot of different creative classes to choose from. So I took communications classes, film classes, tons of stuff. So I was always just trying to absorb something creatively. And yeah, then I went to college and I wanted to sort of join these two mediums together.
Film and music?
Film and music.
Okay. When did the light bulb go off in your brain that, you know what, maybe I can do this for a living?
Well,
or this is what I want to do for a living. Because that creative spark can translate into a million different things.
I know. I would say in middle school, I'd been doing a lot of my own short films. I originally wanted to be a director in middle school. And I would sort of take just music I liked, like film music that I really enjoyed, and I would just always piece it together with my little short films I'd been making. And that's, I think, when I started realizing I have an ear for something, maybe even more so than visual. So, yeah, I sort of went from there and started writing my own little compositions. I got a Mac, and then I bought all these Apple
toys.
Expansion packs. They were like, they weren't the best. But, I mean, at the time, I was like, oh, these are the libraries I'm supposed to be using. These Apple, I forget the name.
Yeah.
But there you could get something for orchestral sound, something for band. And, yeah, I sort of went from there, just started writing and developing my sound.
So going to school, you went to school for music or film?
Yeah, so that was all in middle school and high school. So after that, I first went to Hampshire College because I thought maybe I'll do film and music. I'm not 100% sure, but I wanted to still get my my core classes.
Right.
Just and explore and learn more about other things that weren't just music, because I still wanted to grow. I still wanted to learn more. And then I finally realized, you know, I think this music thing, it's been in me for so long. I want to make this a real thing. So I went to Berklee College of Music, and that's where I got my degree in film scoring.
So did everything just kind of explode when you attended Berklee?
I think so.
Yeah. Just kind of consolidated, like, this is it.
Yeah, because it was sort of it felt like a mini Los Angeles, because we were all, you know, putting on our suits, trying to impress each other, going out networking. It was a really good learning experience, because I was forced to be competitive, but it was a healthy competition. We were all on each other's sides, but
that practical experience is worth so much. You know,
it was.
I mean, it's great to be an artist, but there's a whole other side to that, which is the practical business end of things.
Right.
Does networking and that sort of thing come naturally to you, or was that kind of like pulling teeth?
I feel like naturally as a musician, you want to be an introvert just because it's a form of expression.
Yeah.
We can't always express how we feel in words. So it comes out through music. So sometimes we're naturally more introverted, but I mean, you have to force yourself to just be more of an extrovert, I think, in this industry, or else no one knows who you are.
You know, and it's something, and we had this discussion too about, you know, networking and social media.
Right.
And how, you know, it's all perspective. I mean, I guess we could look at it as like, oh, okay, I gotta go out and I gotta talk to people, or I have to do this. But at the same time, you're talking about something you're passionate about.
Right.
Right? And 9 times out of 10, you're meeting people that are passionate about what they're doing as well. So
I feel like that's
helps. That's so cool.
It
right?
helps, right? We get to talk about things we like.
Yeah.
Not about history. Some history project I don't want to talk about.
Or math. No, you know, no offense to math majors or anything. You know, we need you. But
there's a lot of math in music.
There is.
It's
so this is me
subconscious
showing my
math.
Wow, see, that's a whole other
Maybe another time.
Another time. That's another good. There's another reason for you to come on the show. Talk about the mathematics of music.
Oh gosh.
I love that title though. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the stuff that you're working on. We touched on briefly Shimmer and Shine is a show that you're helping to write music on. Now is that, you know, the main composer for that show is
Bobby Tahori.
Tahori. I want you to talk about Bobby. I want you to talk about him being a mentor
of course.
You and how important having a mentor is.
Oh, so important. So I met Bobby originally when I'd been first interning and then working at Remote Control Productions, which is Hans Zimmer's studio. And yeah, it was a great experience over there, too. But I was so lucky to met Bobby because I felt like instantly, there was no judgment. He just saw me as another composer, someone who just wanted to absorb everything. And so he let me come in and watch him work. And I got to just, and he is so fast. Oh my gosh. And that's something I learned quickly. Wow, I have to be fast.
Fast in regards to
writing, you have to be
got
fast.
It. Okay.
Just because you never know when something's going to come up or a change needs to be made. You need to be able to address that right away. And yeah, he was a very patient, considerate person just from the start. And yeah, our personalities just really matched well. I think that's a tough thing with creatives is
sure.
Everyone has a different personality, certain egos. And I think finding someone that you click with is definitely important, especially for a mentor.
Having that support.
That support.
Because I think, too, that having that support is what keeps people in the game.
Right.
Because it's hard.
It is hard. It is.
This whole entertainment business, you know, it's competitive is not even the word. You know, it's personal. It's a personal journey.
It's personal and everyone wants it to be busy. It is, you know, it's to catch. It's always back and forth. There's no right or wrong answer. There's all these rules that I don't always follow.
Right. That can be a good thing. What have you learned? What has Bobby taught you the most? I mean, I know you said, you know, just being quick.
Being quick.
Which is kind of honing your instinct. Like, okay, I'm just going to do this.
I think treating people right.
Mm.
Treating people right. Being genuine. Staying true to yourself. Because then the most authentic version of yourself comes out. And that's what you're selling. We're selling ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
As in, if people don't want it to sound, you don't want to sound like that, but we have to sell the most authentic version of ourselves.
Yeah.
Or else, what's the point?
They say, you know, write what you know.
Right.
Whether, you can only be authentic and treat yourself by expressing what it is that you know. And it's curious because as I've listened to your music and I want to make sure people know where to find you.
Aww,
and find your music.
Thank
because
you.
It's such a full sound. Your music, I want to call it cinematic. And, you know, some of the pieces are for film. But is that a conscious thing when you're writing that you're coming from a particular place or...
That's such a good question.
Does the feeling come first and then you write the song? Or do you have something specific you want to say and then... Where does it start?
I think it depends on the project. Like, if it's for something specific, then it needs to be the director's overall goal. And I need to find my sort of connection with that.
Yeah.
And then I can go full force. But first I have to definitely find that middle ground, come to that common realization with the director that this is our goal, and then I can kind of go from there. But if it's for my own, something I'm just writing on my own, then it's definitely more intuitive, and it's drawing from all of my past influences, just ever since I was a child, I would say. All of those little collective little bits coming together and coming out as music.
What's some of those influences? I mean, I know you talked about ragtime with your dad.
Yeah. Lots of piano music.
Okay.
Debussy, Chopin, Bartok, lots of that stuff.
I love how
old Disney films.
You'd be able to translate the classical into contemporary because it's timeless.
Oh.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I love that classical stuff.
I know what you mean.
You know, people say jazz. I mean, everything comes from jazz and
both, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially now. I mean, classical musicians during their time, like, you know, Mozart, Beethoven, they were the rock stars. That was their sound. They were the rock stars of their generation. So now they've done that. It's up to film composers. We're kind of the new classical composers.
Mm, oh, I love that.
So I think we do have to kind of draw not only from classical music, but contemporary music too, and kind of find a new sound.
A new take. And
yeah.
Then, like you said, bringing your own take on it as well.
Right. And being curious, too. I mean, I do draw from my upbringing and all my influences, but I'm always trying to stay curious or get inspired by something.
Camp, is it hard to stay inspired?
To stay inspired? Yeah.
It is? I would think so.
Well, I think it's because if you make something creative your full-time job, you have to find new ways of getting inspired.
To draw from the well or something.
Yeah, because you're constantly doing it, so you have to find new ways.
I love that. want to talk about the Features Female annual concert. It's interesting. I mean, the term Features Female has been around since the 70s. I mean, it was kind of a slogan for the whole feminist movement back in the day. And then when Hillary Clinton was running for campaign, that was a huge slogan of hers as well.
Right.
But the Features is Female. It's an annual concert. I was doing a little reading about it. It's literally a platform for female composers to showcase their work and just have the opportunity to have a national stage to show their work.
Right.
Talk a little bit about your participation. And then I want to show a little bit, a clip. I believe this is the clip from September's concert. But talk a little bit about your participation this year.
So I met Tori Letzler. She's an amazing composer and vocalist, and she's been such a support system for me ever since I moved to LA. And she's sort of, I would say she's the voice of all of us right now. And she put together this whole concert. I mean, I don't know how she did it. I really don't. She probably doesn't sleep. But yeah, she sort of curated these two concerts. It's The Future is Female. It's like a nonprofit. And she kind of curates us all and puts together an amazing showcase. And with a Hollywood Chamber Orchestra. Yeah, it's been great. It's been such a platform for all of us, and it's really just given us all the chance to kind of show our unique voice, because we're all so different. And that's what's been so cool about this, is it doesn't feel like a competition. We're all just showing everyone what we do. And I mean, that's the most important thing right now. It's just putting ourselves out there. Showing everyone, hey, I write music too. This is what I have to offer. This is my sound. And really just not putting limits.
Mm.
That's the biggest thing, I think.
I love that, yeah.
No rules, no limits.
Let's show the clip. And, you know, for our podcast listeners, enjoy the music. I just love this.
Thank you.
So the piece is from indie film You and I, correct?
Actually, no. I wrote it for the concert.
Oh, you wrote it for the concert?
I did. I called it You and I.
You called it You and I. Okay.
Yeah.
Why did I think it was from an indie film?
I don't know.
Okay.
It can be for an indie film.
Well, there we go. Let's make the film. Again, it's such a cinematic feel to it. It's such a fullness. And it almost, I mean, I'm a classic Hollywood film fanatic, like TCM on 24/7.
Let's watch the movies.
So have you ever seen the film Laura?
Oh, that's, love it.
That's what the song reminded me of. The theme song to Laura, which makes me cry every time I hear it. That's what it reminded me of. So it's fascinating how obviously you didn't intentionally, it's like, I'm going to write a song that sounds like the theme. But you're inspired, you're influenced by
I love classics. Yeah.
And it comes out. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what resonates for me in particular. It's just like, I can totally, it sounds like a classic film.
Oh, thank you.
Which I love.
I was going for that. That classic Hollywood vibe.
Well done.
Oh, thank you.
No, this whole conducting thing, was that part, I hope your schooling, was that part, do they?
You know, I did a little bit of it, but.
But not, how?
I feel like it sort of comes from some inner place. I had a little bit of coaching for sure.
Okay.
At school. I would love more. It's kind of.
Because it's a whole art in and of itself, it seems.
It is. And it's becoming sort of a new phenomenon right now with all the live to picture shows that are going on in LA. There's been a ton.
So there's more opportunities for it.
It seems like it's going to be booming even more, which I love. I love watching things live to picture.
Yeah.
It's so fun, and it's a different feeling when it's live, because it's how they used to do it back with old short films.
Right.
I mean, silent films.
The silent films, yeah.
Right.
What's it like to be in control of an orchestra? I mean, first of all, it's your music, which in and of itself is exhilarating, but you are the captain of the ship. What's that feel
like? Well, at first it's a challenge.
And you've rehearsed, obviously.
Yeah, we had a couple rehearsals, okay. But not that long. You know, these guys are pros. The players, the Hollywood Chamber Orchestra, they are great. They're amazing players. And, it's just kind of getting everyone in sync and getting all your cues right. It can be a little challenging, but once everything starts flowing, oh my gosh, it's like nothing.
It's got to be an adrenaline.
Yeah, it's definitely an adrenaline rush for sure. Yeah, because you're up there and you just have to, and you start envisioning more than just the music. It's coming from somewhere else at that point. All these bodies together, creating something in that magical moment.
I was just thinking the word magic.
Right?
It's magic.
It really...
Yeah. All those pieces, because there's a million pieces that have to come together.
I know.
And they do.
It's getting to that feeling where everyone's on the same page. Everyone's drawing from some experience, something that's all coming together and just creating that magic feeling.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you conduct more.
Because
it really seems like it comes naturally to you. I mean, you look comfortable doing it. And probably, was it the second time?
Second time here in L.A.
In Los Angeles. Okay. I'm excited. That's going to be great.
Oh, thank you.
Want to talk a little bit, these statistics. I love statistics. Math.
Oh, my gosh.
This is about as mathematical as I get. But I want to talk about industry statistics in regards to women composers working in Hollywood. If we want to take a look at this year's Oscars back in February, there were 141 shortlisted for best score at the Oscars. Only five were female composers. 1-2% of composers working on the top 250 films at the box office were women. 1-2% of the top 250 films were women. Numbers according to the Center for the Study of Women in Television and Film, below the line craft in 2014, women supervising sound editors were at 5%. Cinematographers, directors, these numbers in and of itself, 5%, 7%.
It's really low.
So reading these numbers and talking about Hollywood and talking about how women are making inroads in Hollywood and, you know, women directors, producers are getting a lot more exposure and a lot more spotlight on them. Diversity has increased. I mean, things are changing, no question. But when it comes to female composers working in Hollywood, television and film, I mean, it's still a pretty much a man's world. I would love to hear your perspective. Talk about the sisterhood. Because you've already touched on that, how it doesn't feel competitive, you know. There does seem to be a support, you know, amongst the women composers. But just talk briefly about your experience and the challenges, and do you see change happening, and is it happening fast enough?
I have definitely seen a little bit of change over the past few years, a little bit, in terms of awareness. Mm. We're starting to get ourselves in platforms and in a way where we can tell people what we do and show people what we do, which is good. But there definitely does need to be, I mean, a lot of change. It's going to take some time. And a lot of it's going to have to definitely, yeah, come from a lot of different males in the industry, helping us get that platform. But even more importantly, from us, we have to, I mean, it's good to acknowledge it. And I do acknowledge it all the time. But I also try to tell myself, no, I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm not going to set limits. I'm going to just keep doing what everyone's doing. And I mean, hey, I'm of mixed ethnicity, and growing up, you know, I always felt different. I didn't feel like I always fit in. I felt like I was a minority. So I acknowledge that, and then I just keep going as if you're going to treat me the same way so that you can treat me the same way. So yeah, I try to just not set limits. I try to keep plugging away, and I feel like that's what we all have to keep doing. We have to just continue to show everyone what we're up to, get on, you know, platforms like this and talk about it, play our music for everyone, and just get people talking. I think that's the most important thing, spreading the awareness. And yeah, continuing to, I mean, we still have to keep working hard, because in the end, like, it's so competitive.
Yeah.
So they say it's, you know, I think it's 20% skill, 80% personality, something like that.
But that's 20% perseverance.
Yeah, so we just have to keep being the best too, because I mean, yeah, we just have to keep plugging away and just get our name out there and get our face out there and our music.
I know, I was reading an interview with Tora Stinson, Laura Cartman, and Leslie Barber. They did an NPR interview, and these are powerhouse women composers in the industry. And, you know, one thing that they mentioned was, and you touched on it, is female composers in Hollywood are now just starting to be a part of the conversation.
I know.
That happens when you're putting a film together, because part of that conversation is, you know, I'm a director, and now I've got to hire folks. You know, 9 times out of 10, when you're talking about music in the film, it's the men, the male composers, who are part of that conversation. Well, who do you know? Oh, well, Jack so-and-so.
Right.
Now women are only just starting to be part of that. Oh, well, you know, she's, you know, so-and-so is great. You know, obviously Leslie Barber, Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, she's awesome.
You know, those women are in the position, thankfully, to start opening doors.
Right.
And bringing in other women, so that now these other women are part of the conversation. That's why I love what I do. All I do is talk to people about what they love to do.
Right.
The conversation is so important.
So important.
It's so important. And what people have to share is so important. And what you have to share is so important. What do you think your voice has to say right now?
My voice. I think you can hear my influences in my voice, I think, musically. And I think it shows that, yeah, again, like, I don't put limits on what I do in my life and creatively. I'm always curious. I'm always trying to absorb something else. I don't like feeling like I'm done. I want to keep learning more, developing my sound, incorporating some new sound design element I learned, or someone taught me something cool. I want to incorporate that.
What do you mean by sound design element? See, this is novice Tammy speaking. The sound design element.
So, like, when a lot of composers are writing, we're dealing with you know, normal instruments and stuff like that, but we use a lot of synthesizers too. Not even just in the forefront, but sometimes we're just layering things along with the orchestra, and you might not even realize that. So, yeah, sometimes I'll learn a new little technique, some new synth thing that I can do to incorporate. Yeah, because, I mean, music now, too, with technology, we've advanced so much. So there's more, I think, than just music now. There's sound design. You can create interesting sonic experiences through sound design, too.
That's fascinating. Because it seems it's so multi-layered. It's so multi-layered. Is that a fun thing for you, or?
It is. It is fun.
Seems very experimental.
It is really experimental.
Yeah, very creative.
That's why I love the medium. Because, I mean, film directors, too, there's always some new concept going on that we can explore musically, too.
Social media. We touched briefly on this before we got started. Talk about your thoughts on composing, being a composer, and how social media affects that, affects your creative process, or what does it offer to you as a composer?
I think it's another platform.
Yeah.
It's like, it's free PR. It's free PR. I mean, obviously PR is also really important. But for, you know, for people just starting out, it's a great way to tell people, hey, this is my unique thing that I do, whatever creative thing you're in or whatever medium you are. But yeah, you can tell the world, hey, look what I'm up to. Here's a cool thing that I wrote. Or even networking. I mean, I think it's also a powerful networking tool too.
I was thinking the exact same thing as you were saying it. You know, just the ability to get your content out to people has to be that's a pretty strong sense of responsibility as well.
I know.
You know,
we were talking about this earlier
too. Yeah, just feeling that pressure. You know, it can be a little pressure cooker kind of scenario.
I know. It's true. There are pros and cons, especially since we're going through all those mountains in how things are changing now in the social media world. And the algorithm's always changing. But, I mean, it's a free tool.
It is.
It's a free tool, and why not take advantage of it?
I love that.
Yeah.
So you have a quote, which I thought was so great. I want you to elaborate a little bit on it. So it's that you have said, errors are huge opportunities. Once those errors or explorations are transformed, the track can take on a new form. I loved that just because you took the idea, the concept of mistakes, and turning it into a positive,
right?
A positive thing. Talk about how that's part of your journey as a writer.
Yeah, so that was an interview I did with Roland Cloud, and they are just, Roland is just such a reputable, oh my gosh, company. And Roland Cloud is this kind of way to bring all the classic synths into your arsenal just right away, right at your fingertips. You can just start using all these amazing synths. So they are just, yeah, they've been such an inspiration to me. And that quote specifically, I'm always making mistakes. I'm always making mistakes on the piano. I mean, I'm always trying to come up with some cool idea. And yeah, you have to make some mistakes to find that idea sometimes. So I'll be playing. I like to do this thing. I use Logic. It's a DAW, which is called a digital audio work. Yeah, it's a way to kind of, for us composers to kind of play and record our music.
Okay.
And whenever I'm coming up with ideas, I always have this thing called capture record going on. So I can play whatever I want and it'll just record it. I can just press a button and it's recorded.
Okay.
And that is so fun because I can mess around for just a few minutes, and even if there's a bunch of mistakes, it will lead to something good. And it's all about getting to that point where it's that, oh yes, I found it. Or how can I transform this into something that's just going to take on a new form? So that's what I love to do. I love to just sit back and kind of just mess around until that little mistake kind of can be transformed into something different.
Sounds really intuitive.
Like yeah, you just it know, is really like, intuitive.
There it is. It's almost like cracking a
it's
safe.
It's like a spark. It's yeah. like when you see a little, when you're lighting a fire, like if you're camping or something, when that little spark comes, it's getting to that point. And I feel like that's how a lot of my music kind of starts transforming, is once I get that little thing that just is a light bulb in my head.
What are some of your goals professionally?
I definitely want to be recognized as one of the top composers.
A contender.
Yeah, definitely want to be up there. I want to be recognized as, you know, one of the top composers in Hollywood.
But you know, at this point you're so diversified, you know, television, film, video games. Is that part of something that you're interested in as well, or is film, because this harkens back to
right.
your love of film, you know, from early on. Is film composition your, like, that's the end goal? What's your end goal?
I want to be recognized in whatever medium I am in.
There you go. No limits.
No
what
limits.
Am I even asking this question for?
No limits.
You're the no limit woman.
Yeah, I love music, too. I mean, I'd love to get into more producing and stuff like that, too. More writing, producing, just with records.
Talk a little bit about producing. What is it about that side of things that clicks?
Producing, with music or even films, too. But specifically with music, the fun thing about that is it's all for like, one goal, for the music to kind of be the forefront. Because it's really fun to support a film, but it's a collective vision, and it's for a visual medium, and I play a support to that. Mm. So there is something really fascinating about, you know, producing something for the purpose of just music.
Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
Tell people, first of all, tell people where, you know, they can find you on social media.
Sure.
I mean, you've got your own website, where a lot of your music is on your website, correct? Okay, so
yes.
Where can folks find you on your website?
Yeah, for social media specifically, I'm pretty sure that all my handles are the same. It's my first and last name, Tangeline Bolton. So it's TangeLene. BOLTON. So Tangeline Bolton on all socials. And yeah, same for my website.
Perfect. I want to reiterate again how I'm so thankful that you took the time to come in studio, because this is such a niche in Hollywood that just really needs to be cracked open. There's so much talent. There's so many women composers out there who are talented and capable and ready to work. And you will always have a champion here at AfterBuzz TV to give you that platform to express and promote whatever it is that you want.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you again for being here. Everyone, please make sure and check out our interview. Share our interview. Post it. Tweet, Insta, Facebook, whatever your jam is. Just get Tangeline's voice out there.
Thank you.
You can find me on Twitter at Tammy Govea and on Insta and Facebook at Tammy Govea Official. Again, thank you, Tangeline Bolton,
thank you for
joining
me.
Us here at AfterBuzz. Future is female.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host, and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners.